you for tuning in to Night Lock Podcast. Hi guys, welcome to Nightlock Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to the Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins. My name is Matt.
And I'm Kira.
And we are your hosts for this podcast. We have a really big surprise for you guys today. If we could have a drum roll, please. Okay, so our friend Diana here. Say hi to the people, Diana.
Hey, guys.
She is our guest host today. So, Diana, we're just going to dive right in here and ask you how you got into the fandom of The Hunger Games.
Well, I tend to be one of those, I don't want to say losers.
Maybe. Acceptable.
Maybe, like, enthusiastically challenged people who walk the track during gym rather than actually do anything. And the only two people who really are in my gym class are, guess what, Kira and Matt, and all they talk about all the time is this podcast they seem to do. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Podcast? That sounds delightfully nerdy. I knew what a podcast was.
Oh, okay, because some people don't. They're like, what's a podcast?
I listened to Ricky Gervais' podcast. Oh my gosh, nice. I love him. Anyway, So
we told you about the series.
Since you guys didn't talk about anything else, I felt compelled to read these books, and they were so good.
Totally worth it, right?
Definitely.
All right.
So Diana's going to be with us today. If you want to give us some of your feedback about how she was as our guest host today, I know we want to get Mariah on sometime in the near future, as well as Diana, if we like her enough. So
wait, four at once?
What?
So both of us together?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm getting a new mic, so we'd actually be able to do
that.
Because right now there's like three of us sitting on top of
our audio will be probably much better than it is right now. So today's show includes us bringing back Mock and Mail, Pen and Post news stories through the eyes of Katniss Everdeen with chapters 16 and 17. We have a really good Dark Duel segment today. Diana has been prepping for this for the longest time.
Not really.
And so,
I have not been prepping.
Okay, well,
yes,
you've read over the
I've just been excited. I haven't done it. Wrote it 15 minutes ago, Matt.
And then we're ending with my segment, Matt Samadhi's music. So we're just going to go with some announcements today.
Good job.
As you guys might have heard from our joint episode, if you haven't listened to our joint episode of Rebellion Radio, which we called Night Rebels, you should check it out. The entire episode is dedicated to dissecting the trailer. We made an announcement that Nightlock version 2.0 has been released. Huh, that's cool. You put that.
2.0.
So check out.
See, he reads this, but I write the whole thing, so it's just bad.
Well, I can give my little witty comments.
Nice.
So check out our website, which is nightlockpodcast.com. We're not doing any of that Weebly, Squarespace.com, anything. It's just going to be straight nightlockpodcast.com. That is where we teamed up with Squarespace with this new website. And since we find the site so manageable and perfect for designing, we have a special offer for you guys. If you guys go to squarespace.com/nightlock, you can get a free trial and later use the promotion code, which is nightlock11, to get 20% off your order. I think it's, what, a two-week trial?
Yeah, I believe so, 14 days.
It's 14 days. So if you guys love the site as much as we do, that's squarespace.com, you guys put in the promotion code, which is nightlock11, and you guys will get 20% off. How much is it a month? I believe it's,
I'm not sure. But
if you guys have
any questions, you can email us at nightlockpodcast@gmail.com, and we can give you the current promotion code if you're listening to this as an old episode.
Right, because we're trying to get it to change every month.
It will change every 2 months. So.
2 months, I'm sorry.
So it will be different for January and February, and then so on and so forth. Yeah, I know. I kind of slurred it together.
So. Wait, what's Squarespace again? That's
Squarespace is like Weebly.com, where like it's like a website.
Who knows that is?
All right, it's like a website.
Is it one of those websites that makes websites?
Yeah, it's a website
that's
creating
like
program.
For you guys, when you consider like all the nerds that must.
Yeah.
Can you stop calling us nerds? You're
a
nerd too.
You're insulting
our
listeners.
I know that I'm a nerd. Okay, people should be proud.
So,
keep going, Matt.
Another reminder is that to send your segment ideas before Tuesday, December 13th, for a chance to win a signed copy of Lois Gresh's Hunger Games Companion. You can also win a copy by sending ideas for renaming my segment, which is Matt Smiley's Music. So send in all your ideas to nightlockpodcast@gmail.com or fill out a form on our new and improved website, nightlockpodcast.com.
Right.
So we have gotten a lot of really good ideas. We have yet to make decisions on them. So probably by the next episode, which is our holiday episode, we will have those decisions set for you.
Yeah. So, so you guys have until Tuesday to submit those ideas. Tuesday, December 13th, 2011.
Okay, thanks for...
Some people listen to them like 5 years later, so...
Also, a quick note, Kira has, if you guys didn't notice this on the Facebook page, Kira was fan of the week last week on Lionsgate's official Hunger Games movie page, so you can check out her interview there. She will be receiving a limited Mockingjay pin soon. We will post pics.
Limited edition.
That will go great. Fancy. That will go great with that costume.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah. That was
fan
really
of the week.
Cool.
What is that?
So basically, Lionsgate chooses a fan every week that has done something for the fandom. I don't know if done something, but done something with
out
Hunger
of like
Games, like a podcast or yeah, like you submit it to something.
That's so cool.
And yeah, so it's interesting. So
it's really cool. It's also like a lot of people look at the Facebook page, mm-hmm. So it's like promoting Nightlock.
Yeah.
Of course, Kira had to win it, so.
So I submitted both names.
When you think about the amount of work she does for this,
she does so much more. She does so much more than I do. Like she should deserve it. I even said it. You guys read the interview with Lois. Blatantly said that Kira does much more on this than I do. All right. So last announcement for today, for this episode, is that the last episode in 2011 will be our Christmas episode. It's kind of our holiday gift to you guys. So at the end of that special episode, we will play your favorite, you spelled favorite in the British way.
I know, I do everything.
Favorite moments of the show. So you guys can send us an email of your favorite or funny moments, because we're just so funny.
And
you
please,
guys just
please send in your timestamp of the episode so that I can find it, because otherwise it's going to be very stressful.
Unless
she
wants to listen to
our
6 hours.
So,
episodes.
So if you guys could just send me the episode and the timestamp, and I'll be able to insert that moment.
So it's kind of like
that episode will be released on Christmas for you guys. So.
Alright, so Kira, you may take... Actually, let's have Diana read this one.
Alright.
Okay. This is the Mock and Mail segment, where we have people send us emails or review us on iTunes about what they think about the podcast. So this one is from Maddie. So
and
go
it
ahead.
Says, hi
guys.
That
just say
should
just
be guys. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi guys. Okay, this isn't really a comment, it's more of a question. I'm listening to episode 7 right now, and I really want to sign up at the Capital...
.pn.
I know.
Okay, I helped Kira along because she can't pronounce some words.
It's a P and it's an N.
I got it.
But I don't have a Facebook. I'm trying to get my mom to let me use her Facebook, but she doesn't want her screen name showing up as my username. Does it show your Facebook username as your the capital.pn username? Also, was watching your video and the trailer, and if you look at 59 seconds exactly, you see a lady covering her mouth. Do you think that's maybe her mother? Okay, thanks again.
So, didn't we research this?
Yes.
And we looked it up?
We responded back to her, but we wanted to kind of let everyone know, because I think a lot of people had this question. When you sign up at thecapital.pn, you can use either Twitter or Facebook. And when you sign up, I think, Matt, you signed up with Facebook.
I signed up with Facebook.
And I don't think your name showed up on...
I mean, it doesn't... Well... It doesn't show up on the website, but if you click your residence, the residency card, it shows, like, your...
Right.
A civilian in Panem, it does show, like, your first name, your last name, it does show your birthday, and, like,
now,
your location.
Now, is that the information you put in, or did they get that
off of Facebook? I think it's the information that I put in, and some they got off of Facebook.
All right, yeah.
But if you're really concerned about it, I would recommend just doing a Twitter, because it's much easier.
Okay.
To answer your question about the 59 seconds, I think it's a really good and, like, insightful thing to think about, because I was looking at him, like, it does look like Katniss's mother, but, again, we have to think about who is cast as her, and she does have, was it, like, strawberry hair, like, strawberry blonde hair.
Kind of.
The woman at 59 seconds has dark hair. But also, it can also be that
they could have dyed it.
I don't know, I haven't really zoomed in on it yet, but that's a really good idea.
Definitely possible.
Yeah.
So.
Alright, so then the next one, Kira, you can read this one.
So the next email says, hey Kira and Matt, I just wanted to start by saying your podcast rocks. I just finished watching the trailer for The Hunger Games and was kind of surprised about the music. I expected something more like the music from this trailer, Legend of Korra. The music from here is more fast-paced and tribal, less computer-generated, weird buzzing sound to it. Looking forward to your feedback. Thanks, Yusuf.
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 Okay.
So, Sure, do you want to play the audio?
So, yeah, I was thinking we would just play a little clip of this. Now, wait, do you guys agree about the computer-generated weird buzzing sound, like, to the trailer?
I can't really say I know what he's talking about.
I mean, like, the music, like...
When, at the end of the trailer, where she's, they go five...
It's a drone.
It's kind of this weird buzzing.
It's called a drone. A drone is where like a sustained note on a certain instrument it plays. It's kind of like I don't want to say it's like the one that you wind up, but it comes out with this droning sound. Mm-hmm. So that's
a continuous
So I think that's what they're referring to. It kind of makes sense though because it's the capital is kind of like in the future, so it's gonna have that computeristic feel to it.
I suppose, yeah.
So how long is the trailer?
Let's just play a little clip.
All right. If I were going to ask. Okay. We'll just play a little bit of it. That's from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Well, it's a new series.
It's a new series. Spin-off. Yeah, my brother was talking about it.
Yeah, I was wondering why it said Legend of Korra. I was like, that's definitely Avatar.
I got so excited, so I had to keep watching it. Okay.
I feel like that could fit.
I don't know. I don't really know what part of the book, like, what part of the story that would fit in, because I feel like it's more, like, fast-paced and, like, there's always a lot of anxiety, and that's kind of, like, more slow and dramatic. I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Like, it's more calm.
But, like, it could be calm in the scenes where they're in the cave, and they could just be talking about...
But I don't really see
that's
much...
that's not love
much,
either.
Like,
it's not...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe, like, in the beginning when... I don't know. Maybe, like, you know that one scene in movies where they, like, go over, like, the scenery of the place while the credits roll?
Yeah, over the woods.
Yeah, but I feel also, like that would be the only place...
It could also be the flashbacks with her father. Could also be that too.
Yeah,
but so. It's more. It has an epicness to it that it wouldn't be so much like.
This is more of like an adventure,
type
movie, and not like an epic movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, I don't know. So
that's. I'm gonna watch that trailer when we're done with this. So this is our last mock and mail. This is from Christian. They say, "I absolutely love you guys. Both of you really keep me entertained with your segments, opinions, and arguments. It's never boring, and you always make me laugh." Thanks. I agree with you that Mariah should stay and should be included in every episode.
Or Diana.
Or Diana. Well, two is all right, but three really truly makes it.
Referring to the number of hosts.
Yeah. You didn't get that the first time.
Yeah, I didn't. So, there's probably people like me out there.
It's kind of self-explanatory.
I thought it meant God, the Kira. Episode she was on. But anyway.
I don't see anything wrong in your episodes. You guys follow a good schedule, and hearing you guys is always great. Keep up the great work, and good luck with your podcast. I've been listening to each and every episode. Don't stop.
Aw, that was really cute.
So nice you have such devoted fans.
Yeah.
So Kira's, again, the time management organization girl, so
yes,
she knows.
We're running behind, so we got to speed it up.
Okay, sorry. Pan and Post. Sorry. Go.
Pan and Post News is brought to you by our affiliate Hunger Games fan sites, HungerGamesMovie.org and HGGirlOnFire.com, where you can get up-to-date news coverage about the fandom, especially the Hunger Games movie. Our first news bit is probably going to take a little longer to discuss, because there's kind of some elements to it here. And so the covers have been released for most of the books coming out related to the Hunger Games, and we discussed them kind of in passing before, like long episodes ago or whatever. And so I don't remember what episode it was, but a couple episodes ago we talked about the Hunger Games Collector's Edition, and so that was released in November and included a slipcase that features new Mockingjay art, and that's priced at $30, so it's kind of steep.
Yeah.
And we discussed this through Will's point of view from HungerGamesMovie.org, and basically all this is the Hunger Games novel in a new case.
But like we said, $30. But like we said, we discussed this. I mean, if people are collectors, they are collectors. They like to collect certain books or certain novels like this. They're gonna want to have it to work on their collection.
Yeah, I feel like it's only appealing to collectors because I mean.
Yeah.
As soon as a series gets really big, things like that always happen. Like Harry Potter, like the later books cost like what, like $45 each or something ridiculous like that.
I don't know. I feel like this is just, they're just trying to rip you off.
Well, I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah. So, that's one of them. And so that's already been released. And there's a few that are going to be released. I think three of them, February 7th. Yeah, three of them are on February 7th, which is kind of like a weird day. Like, I don't know, February is kind of like in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, when it's released, we're one month closer to the
premiere. Wait, did that picture you show me where, like, the Mockingjay pin is on fire, is that, like, one of these?
Yeah, that is one of these. That's actually the one that we're talking about now. The Hunger Games movie tie-in, this is the next book. So that's the original book, and the cover is replaced by the poster for the film, which is the Mockingjay pin on fire. So that's priced at $13. So
yeah,
that's a reasonable price. Better. And I like it that it doesn't just have Jennifer Lawrence and Josh.
Yeah.
Like,
it hate
actually
it when
has
they do
a symbol
that.
On it. I know, right? I'm sure that's gonna come, right?
But, it's definitely gonna come.
Yeah. So
did anyone know you guys saw that picture? I don't know if you saw it. The one where like Jen, they're all three of them are laying in the grass.
Liam,
Jen, and Josh are all laying on the grass, and he's on her and Josh is on her stomach.
And I believe
there
was a Twilight picture in Vanity Fair of the same position.
Yeah, I just
want to
say it kind of reminds me of Vampire Diaries.
Yeah,
like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys know that show, I haven't watched it in a while because So it kind of just reminds me of that. Mm-hmm. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The other book. Now, these are actually interesting. And so this one is The World of the Hunger Games, and that's priced at $18. And that's coming out the day of the film. And it is described as the definite, richly illustrated...
Definitive.
Okay, I'll restart. The definitive, richly illustrated, full-color guide to all the districts of Panem, all the participants in the Hunger Games, and the life and home of Katniss Everdeen. And what else? So, basically, this is actually, I don't want to say new information, but new insight. It's mostly pictures. It's basically a picture book for the Hunger Games, in a way.
Which is kind of cool, because it kind of gives, like, the backstories and see what everything looks like
yeah.
from a director's perspective.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all have these mental images in our head on what everything looks like. In the trailer, I didn't picture District 12 to look exactly like that.
Yeah, me neither.
So, it's kind of cool to see that. In a like a real life setting or director setting.
And if you're kind of wondering more about this, a lot of people are speculating it's going to be a lot like the Twilight Illustrated Companion. So you can take a look at that, and it's probably going to be the same kind of thing, just Hunger Games.
I mean, $18 isn't that bad for something like that.
Yeah.
They could definitely rip you off more.
And by the way, if you get right now, it's on sale for $10 for
Ooh.
Pre-order on
Ooh.
Amazon. So,
oh, man.
You know, and it'll be shipped to your house, so it's a pretty good deal. So, I mean, that's not shipping included, but whatever. So, yeah, that's coming out February 7th. And something else coming out February 7th. Oh, wait, is that? February 7th. So, the Hunger Games Tribute Guide is a comprehensive guide to the 24 tributes participating in Panem's 74th annual
Ooh.
Hunger Games. And readers follow the tribute's journey from the reaping to the games with a look at all the highlights along the way. The tribute parade, the stations of the training center, the interviews, and more. The book will include exclusive information about the tribute's strengths and weaknesses, their weapons of choice, and their experience in the Capitol before entering the arena.
All right. Can I just say this? This book would be perfect. Because remember we were talking about Cato and Clove and their interrelationship?
Mm-hmm.
We thought Cato and Clove had some backstory relationship, romantic relationship. This can either prove me wrong or prove me right.
Yes.
That they are... They did have a romantic relationship.
Now I have one question.
Yes.
And if this is a no, I'm not getting it. Because is this written by Suzanne Collins? Or did someone interview her and then take that information from the interview and then write it?
Well, didn't J.K. Rowling do something like this?
I kind of hate it when authors do this. Like, if it's not going to be in the story, like, as you read it, like, why... I feel like you can't...
It's like there's no speculation.
You can't,
it's
like,
all spelled out.
Just because you ask the author doesn't mean, like,
it's
part
true,
of the story.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah.
Sounds
I can't even talk about it.
I don't know. So, like, if it's... I mean, I'm sure that it's all been approved by Suzanne Collins, but what if someone sat down and said, all right, let me just make all this stuff up, and then I'll send it to her, and she'll just approve it. See, if that's right, then it's not true, because the writer did not come up with it herself, you know?
don't know.
So, I mean, that's a big question, and I couldn't find the answer to that question. So, hopefully, as the date rolls around closer, that we'll be able to figure that out. But I think that's my favorite of the three, or the four books. I think that's, and it's a good price. It's only $8, so.
Yeah.
Definitely compared to the, you know, almost $20 Illustrated Companion. Definitely different, but. Yeah, so you can check them out on Amazon. I'm not sure the price of the tribute guide. I don't think it's that much savings, but you can pre-order those, and the tribute guide, the Illustrated Movie Companion, and the World of, or no, and the movie tie-in is all coming out February 7th, so. Our next news story, Lionsgate launches the Square competition, where fans can run for mayor of their district.
That's actually really cool.
Now, have you heard of this, like, I don't know if you're on Twitter?
I haven't really heard of anything.
Okay, yeah. So, basically, it's defined as district leadership, be the face of your district, and set examples for your citizens. Celebrate citizens, praise citizens whose words and deeds bring honor to your district, mayor mail. Relay all communications from your district's tributes to foster district pride and public appearances. Now, this is the interesting component. Represent your district at major capital sponsors events and ceremonies.
Ooh.
What do we think this is going to
be? So is that, like, going to be a convention type thing?
I'm thinking it's the premiere. You're going to get to go to the premiere and be on the red carpet.
Really? I don't think they would go that far.
I think maybe not be able to go on the red carpet, but they will give you something, like, that you can go to either L.A. or
meet
NYC.
Meet the cast.
I don't
do
know,
something
kind of
like
a
that.
Backstage pass type thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably.
I know Matt and I are planning to go to the New York premiere, so I think it'd
oh
be
my
cool
gosh.
If we got a bunch of kids, you know, like Mariah, Diana, and some of our other friends that are Hunger Games geeks, and it'd be cool to go down there. My mom has already volunteered to drive us down and everything, so that should be pretty fun. But this competition has ended.
Did they elect everyone yet?
I don't know. I know it ended, but... voting ended. I'm not sure if the results have come out yet.
I have to see because I know the girl in my district, I'm District 1, by the way, was running. I have to look more into her, see if she's a good leader.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people tweeted us, oh, can you retweet this so I can get more votes? And, like, we retweeted them or whatever. But, yeah, so that's an interesting thing. And so we can see that the capital.pn, this is what it's going through, the capital.pn. And that they're kind of expanding their site. Before, we're like, okay, what are they doing with this? They kind of, it's very stagnant. But.
I really like how interactive Lionsgate is being with the fans. Like, I don't think
yeah.
I've ever seen that happening with...
Not even Lionsgate, it's the actors, too.
Yeah, the actors, too. They're doing all these live streams, and, like, they'll go on Twitter and be like, hey, I got 10 minutes, shoot me some questions, and, you know. So it's pretty cool. But, so our last news story, I don't think Matt knows about. I've kind of been keeping him in the dark with this, because I want his reaction on the show here. So... I don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but brace yourself, okay?
You're freaking me out. What is it?
Okay. So, Danny Elfman, unfortunately, is not scoring the Hunger Games.
Why?
He has some prior engagements.
Was T-Bone Burnett still doing it?
Yes, he's still doing it.
Okay.
And so his replacement is James Newton Howard.
Wait, what does scoring mean?
Score.
I thought you meant, like... I thought you were talking about him
gets a 9 out of 10.
Being like
so.
A game maker, like, in the... No. Okay, right. Never mind.
All right, well, I see it. Okay, so he's done Dark Knight, King Kong, Blood Diamond, The Sixth Sense. Is that right? Yeah. And Signs. I can't pronounce my S's.
He's done a lot of stuff, so you can IMDb him. He's also done I Am Legend. And so we can listen to a clip here. I feel like this kind of... It could fit into the series, and just kind of seeing his work and how it might... kind of be used in the movie.
That's just for I Am Legend. You don't know what he's going to do with this.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is kind of like his prior work because originally, I think on our first show, we played
T-Bone
Danny
and Danny
Elfman and T-Bone stuff. So,
all right.
Yeah. I think he's okay, but he's no John Williams or Elfman.
I feel like
so.
He kind of, when I think about the movies he's done, like, especially The Sixth Sense, like, they all have this, like, dramatic, like,
eerie,
deep, like, almost,
which is
like,
kind of good because
sad
the book, Hunger Games is a dramatic book.
But it's not
it's more like,
creepy
it
or, like,
it's not
that's, that music
none
wasn't
of those
creepy.
Stories have, like, that adventuresome feel.
Yeah.
Like, wait, the guy who was before, previously signed up to do it, he's the one who's done all of the major
He's done
themes.
Spider-Man, Alice in Wonderland, which sounds weird if you think about, oh, Alice in Wonderland, that Hunger Games, like, that doesn't make any sense. But if you listen to the soundtrack, it really does, like, that could totally fit in with the Hunger Games. That's what I can think of off the top of my head, but he's done a lot of stuff. And he was definitely, like, I don't know a lot about composers, but, I mean, John Williams was my first pick, but, you know, because he's done everything. I
but
mean, Star Wars,
kinda,
Indiana Jones, Harry
But it's
Potter.
Also kind of good that they didn't pick John Williams or hired him, because, like, they think, oh, well, John Williams is doing it. Like, I don't know. It's kind of good that they pick someone different, you know?
I guess.
So
I
then
know.
Up until
like,
it's
John,
like...
It's not like he's starring in the film. Everyone's like, yeah, we know him. Like, it's...
They want someone different, though.
But I feel like John Williams would have given...
Given
the Hunger Games, like, an iconic theme.
Yeah.
Like, he gave Star Wars iconic theme,
think
Harry
of
Potter.
All of those themes,
like, Indiana Jones, So it's like, you hear that, and you think of the movie.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I wanted for the Hunger Games. You hear it, like, you don't even need to see the title, and you know what the movie is.
Well, right now, we don't really know the music of the movie. Right now, all we know for the theme is Ruse.
The Mockingjay Whistle.
Ruse, Mockingjay Whistle.
Which, that's not so much of a theme, so it's, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know yet. All right. So, go ahead, Kira. This is our next segment.
Okay, so this is our main segment, as you guys know, Through the Eyes of Katniss Everdeen, and we analyze the books by chapters, usually two chapters an episode. And so we summarize what happens and foreshadowing and all that good stuff. So, two episodes ago, since last episode was our trailer analysis with Rebellion Radio, so two episodes ago we discussed chapters 14 and 15, so today we'll continue with chapters 16 and 17. So take it away, Matthew.
Thank you. Alright, so chapter 16 is mostly focusing on Katniss and Rue.
What happened? And do you remember what happened in 15?
Oh god, that was a while ago.
Yeah,
Diana, get
like,
it up.
Right here, I've got the book right here. They decided that they were going to destroy the careers plan, so she's now going on the offensive for the first time.
Right.
Nice.
So, this is, Katniss. Diana, is that...
Yeah, I am Katniss.
I pick quotes and I analyze them, and that's how I usually do my analysis. Mm-hmm. So, chapter 16 is more focusing on, like, Katniss and Rue, and Katniss's all internal thoughts saying, like, stuff, if she wanted me dead, all she would have to do was disappear from that tree without pointing out the tracker jacket nest.
See, okay.
I mean,
Kira, the first paragraph of chapter 16...
Can we just say that Diana is not a big fan of Katniss right now?
Okay, this is exactly why I don't like Katniss. I do not understand why she's your favorite character. This is just like quintessential Katniss annoyingness.
Okay.
Like, okay, this whole, like, her with Rue, Rue's snuggling up against her, they're, like, having this emotional bond, and there's, like, this potential for, like, this
That's
real emotional stuff, and Katniss immediately starts thinking about... You know, if she was going to kill me, she would have done it by now. She's always on these, like, logical,
because that's what she
cynical
think.
Thoughts. And I understand, like, her growing up.
Exactly.
That's how she was trained to think, but it just...
Can you blame her?
I think that's why she's such an unsympathetic character to me, because, like...
But she's strong. She's held her family together. She doesn't let things get in her way. She has a mind of her own.
She doesn't let her feel anything. And then, okay, at the end of...
Maybe that's why I can relate, because I don't feel anything.
And then she's like... She was thinking about how Rue, obviously one of them is going to have to die in the end. And
right.
She's like, I managed to ignore the thought. No, stop running away from your emotions.
Yeah, but like she doesn't want to get connected with her because she's going to have to die.
Okay.
If Katniss lives, Rue dies.
I understand how that's like her survival instinct throughout her life is running away from her emotions. But it just annoys me. That's the reason for all of the like romantic problems she has. Everything.
Yeah.
Like she... I can't. Okay. I'm done. I could go on for an hour, but...
That's like, it's good, because it's
Katniss,
good to have insight for people,
I'm
especially...
Not a fan.
All right, so then, as she's ignoring the thoughts of her and Rue, she's focusing on, like, giving the reader the backstory of, like, what the career tributes usually do, saying, like, the strategies to get hold of all the food early on and work from there. And, she says, like, the careers have been better fed growing up is actually to their disadvantage. So she's saying, like, she's already forming the process of what she has to do something with the food to get the career tributes to be weaker. So she says that it's their disadvantage because they don't know how to be hungry, not the way Rue and I do. Mm-hmm. And that's how she connects to Rue on such a emotional level. Like, they both have been hungry. They both know the pain. They both know the suffering of not being able to have access to the food. Like, people from District 2 or District 1, say, who have food already at their disposal because they're so close to the capital, and they're so, and the capital is reliant on them because of their products.
Don't you think that it's kind of reckless for Katniss to, like, start caring about Rue? I mean, going back to this idea, because it's like, you don't start having an emotional bond when you know you're going to have to die. It makes you weak.
But how could they really be successful as allies if they didn't form some sort of bond? Like, it just wouldn't work.
It should be completely professional, because otherwise you start caring about
each other. But you can't be professional when it's life or death like this, and every day you have to watch each other's back.
Okay, I know that you're a big kid fan. Like, you love kids and everything. How would you feel positioned?
All right.
So, like, if you were in Katniss's position, and you were partnered up with someone who was 12 years old, such as one of your cousins, for example.
Okay, no, you can't use a cousin. Someone who had no idea.
Rue reminded her of Prim.
That's why she connected with Rue on such this kind of level, because she reminds her of Prim. Mm-hmm. And Prim is, like, the closest thing she has to home.
Okay, think about it. Katniss is, like, the most unemotional person. Well, she's not emotional.
So am I. So.
But you are pretty chill about everything. But, like, she's like that, too, but to even in greater extent. So if she's forming an emotional bond with her ally, you know that it's, like, basically impossible not to. Like,
I don't know. It just seems very reckless. And if you're trying to survive and you're having the mindset, like, I'm going to survive no matter what, like, even if I have to kill people.
But that's why the only way she can survive is if she has an ally. She can't do this on her own.
Yes, but you don't need to, like, just be allies and just have each other's backs.
But to be honest, like, she doesn't.
Rue is obviously giving her a lot of strength. Like, she doesn't, as soon as she is with Rue, in this chapter is when she starts to feel relaxed, and she goes on the offensive with the careers, obviously.
You should never be relaxed. It's horrible.
What?
It's bad.
Kira, you understand.
If you
understand
can't be relaxed, then how are you supposed to be successful? You can't. I mean, you need to be aware of your surroundings and everything, but you still can't be tense all the time.
Oh, psychology! Yes!
Parasympathetic, yes.
You can't always be.
I was thinking about this. Yes. I was like, should I make a psych reference? Should I not make a psych reference?
I make them, and he's like, whoa. I'm like,
hey, I'm not that stupid.
Kira and I are in AP psych together.
Yeah.
And so Diana's a big English whiz, so she's very insightful.
Yeah,
she is.
I love English.
Anyway, so, yeah, I don't want to go on a tangent, but. Alright, I think I have a
And she tends to analyze, like, the smallest words, which we learned in AP English anyway, to, like, analyze
right,
every single word.
Back to AP
English. So, okay, this is kind of proving your point, saying that, like, I realized for the first time how very lonely I've been in the arena.
That's exactly. Good. You shouldn't be lonely.
She's,
kill people. Get
no,
that.
Kira,
she's
oh
family.
My god.
Okay, this is necessary for her to, like, in the next chapter when Rue, like, dies. Like, for her to get this, like, emotional response. She needs to have, like, built
but
up
see,
this.
She, that made her weak, because she's crying over Rue's body. Someone could have killed her right there.
She killed
the
guy. She probably wouldn't have strength to do that unless she had been feeling so emotionally heightened at that time.
But she's a hunter. I mean, she does this all the time. Just like
she's
Gale
never
said,
killed
quoting
a person
Gale
before.
As my backup, because, you know,
well,
everyone
Gale's
loves
just
Gale.
An...
He's like, it's just like hunting, you know?
Oh, God, I hate Gale. All right, I like
it's like the hunt or be
like
hunted.
Gale?
Hunt
oh,
or
everyone,
be hunted.
I think everyone liked him in the first book, but then...
Yeah.
Once you figure out what his real
personality
is.
I know one
like,
person that we need to have on the show that loves Gale. All
right. So, this is, like, where she sees the contrast between Prim and Rue. When she says, I see the glint of excitement in her eyes. In this way, she's exactly the opposite of Prim, for whom adventures are an ordeal.
That relates back to when I asked what's the difference between them.
Yeah.
That answers my question.
So, like, Prim is more of, like, the conservative side. Which kind of is, like, kind of how Katniss is. I mean, Katniss isn't, like, prone to adventure. She's more of like
what?
Sorry,
what? Have you read the series?
Yeah. I mean,
she's definitely doesn't have any squeamishness about breaking the rules at all.
She has squeamishness about
sorry,
nakedness
guys.
And blood is coming up in chapter 19 at some point, but yeah. Anyway,
looking right. Forward to that.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can work much of this quote, but she says, "I poke Rue in the belly just like I would Prim." So that's just
reckless.
Oh, Kira,
shut up,
this
Kira.
This is her.
This is
like,
you
oh
can't
my god.
Come on to our podcast and tell me to shut up.
Okay,
just
listen.
Just
it's
sorry.
So cute.
I'll stop saying she's reckless. It's just.
And then,
Kira, what would you what do this? In this situation?
I would kill
you
people.
You probably have died by
to
now.
My family, because I need to support my brother and my dying mother.
But your mom's not.
I don't know. I'm just putting myself in Katniss's shoes.
Okay.
Yeah. Katniss's boots. What? Okay, that was all right. That was
so,
really bad.
I love this quote right here. Rue, who when you ask her what she loves most in the world, replies, "Of all things, music." So, this is another connection between Rue and Katniss, because Katniss doesn't love music, but Katniss does have that musical aspect about her. Like, she does sing. Really? Of her past when she sang with her father.
Sorry. Hey. Listen, again, Katniss is undistinctive. The only thing she can do is hunt and sing. What else? What else is there? I mean, all right. I'm sorry.
I mean, she's pretty strong. Yep. Like mentally as well.
Well, she's kind of smart. She's smart. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think that quote really just. I mean, I think Rue isn't really a realistic person. I think she's more of a symbolic character, and that kind of relates to that.
Well, that's why all the readers fell in love with her.
Yeah.
Because she opened up Katniss.
I think she is my favorite character.
Because really, how could you, like, live in poverty and, like, fear and terror every day and have your favorite thing be music? That's just...
Yeah.
She's just, like, pure innocence and goodness.
And she's, like, the symbol of hope.
Yeah, like, I have a bird, too, that relates more to a bird.
So, remember, yeah.
We talked about episode 7, right? We talked about...
I don't know, some episode, but yeah.
She had the wings. I believe it was episode 7. She had the wings when she was,
Right. Yes, in her interview, I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, episode 7, we talked about how
she, like,
she's
is
bird.
The Mockingjay. Well, yes. No. Well.
But then she dies and everything goes bad, so, you
know. Cool, thanks.
Right, so, keep going.
Katniss gives Rue her Mockingjay pin. She says, here, you take it. It has more meaning for you than me. So.
And again, that's because when Rue knew to trust Katniss when she saw she had the Mockingjay pin on. So.
And so here, given what Diana was saying about, like, Katniss thinking the worst out of all the possible good situations. God. She says she's so paranoid about Rue being killed, about Rue not being killed, and the two of us being left for last, about leaving Rue alone, about leaving Prim alone back home.
See, that just shows how her mind connects Rue and Prim.
And also going on, like, I think we had this discussion, you asked me a question, if it was just the two of them, what would they do if, like, Cass would kill Rue, or...
Right.
And I said that Rue would sacrifice herself for it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like Katniss doesn't want that to happen. She
Rue would sacrifice herself for the long one, because long run. Because
long one.
She know she would know that Katniss would kind of have the rebellion start, and it would be better for her family at home than if she.
See,
were.
That's why Rue is like so unrealistic, because she has this like innocence, and yet she has this maturity that is almost incompatible with being.
She's
innocent.
A 12-year-old
exactly,
to understand all this.
Very well put, Diana.
Thank you, Kira. All
right, so now she is heading to the lake where this food is stationed, and so she's, I can't talk, sitting in bushes, and she's, examining
the, piss
shut, what? Kira, she's, like, examining, she's, like, seeing which way she can go about,
Matt, what are you doing?
So, they have devised a plan where Rue was going to take green wood and set on fire to create this, 3 campfires to set off smoke that would distract them away from the food. Mm-hmm. And so Rue sets the first one off, and Kato takes, I think he leaves the District 3 boy to grab the food. Yeah,
yes,
he does.
That's correct.
District 3.
No, he goes with him.
All right. I think they do.
No, they had an argument about, reread these chapters last night.
Yeah.
And so he says, when we find her, I kill her in my own way and no one interferes. So that's a little Kato for you. So, what else we got? We have a little Jackie, this fox face, coming in here.
I love fox face!
And, she kind of describes her as coming up with, these little hops, strange little hops. Little dance as she's approaching the pyramid.
I so want to see Jackie do this dance. I just need to see this.
So this is like Jackie's shining moment right here.
Yeah.
And
she's going to belt out singing Peter Pan while doing this little dance. It's going to be great.
And so, Foxface, and so the one thing that, like, makes Katniss wonder is the Foxface trip, she slips when she's stepping on the ground, and she falls, but nothing happens.
Who,
so,
Katniss?
Foxface.
No, Foxface.
Oh.
And so she's wondering, like, why did Foxface scream when that happened? So she's wondering that, like, Foxface has already confirmed, I guess, that around the pyramid, there's mines.
Oh, sorry. When you said slip, I thought you meant, like, fall. Like, she just, like, moved a little bit, and she was worried.
She lost her balance.
Right, okay.
And so Katniss runs to where one of the starting platforms were, and she saw that had been dug up. Because remember, if you step off the platform before the cannon goes off, you get...
That's what they use.
So
I never put two
the
together.
Boy from District 3...
It mentions it clearly in the
text. The boy from District 3 dug up the mines that were on the platforms and had them scattered around the pyramid.
Wow.
So that also means that Foxface has been watching them closely to see how they approach the pyramid to get the food.
I will give Katniss some credit for being smart enough to figure it out. All right, Katniss was smart enough to figure this out.
I mean, Foxface did spell it out for her, but...
I know, but I probably wouldn't have...
Yeah.
I would be like, why is she doing that?
So, Katniss thinks the best way to try to get the food to explode is to shoot a bag of apples to set off the mine surrounding the pyramid. So it takes her 3 shots, and so...
Which is surprising. Like, you'd think she'd get on the first shot.
Well, no, because the distance she is from the pyramid.
So when you think about it, like, okay. Even if you had a knife, it would take probably a while to...
Oh, even if she got it, it'd only be a little hole.
Yeah, it's
so.
Only like a
oh,
little,
okay.
Like, split second.
It's a bag of apples.
It's right. Only a split
so.
Second of the knife.
Really, Matt, it's a bag of apples.
Did you know that like, thick, like, stringy stuff?
Yeah,
that,
yeah, like, like when you get, like, caught in
kinda
a net.
Kind of like hemp.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
So, she says, then the apple spills to the ground and I'm blown backwards into the air. And... That's how the chapter ends.
She probably should have taken cover before she shot.
Well, how are you supposed to, like, take cover and then... I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, like...
I mean, it's a full bow, you know? Like,
it depends on how far this stuff was away from the woods, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. She probably should have been anticipating the fact that it's going to blow up in her face, literally. I mean...
Yeah, a little bit, so...
So, that's chapter 16.
Good job, man.
So, thank you. And, Kira, you can take away with chapter 17.
Oh, yeah.
For that nice little intro. Katniss was blown up into the air, so of course she has to land. So she lands on her back from the blow, and her hearing had gone. Katniss is dizzy to the point that everything is spinning, and she has to flee because the couriers will come back to find her. Mm-hmm. So she manages to crawl, then a couple of random blasts happen. Did it spell out? Do you know what those were? Or was it just...
I think it was just, like, maybe some debris had, like, fallen and then like,
something
set them off
set
later.
Off. Okay, yeah. So, she conceals herself from the camera. Now, I don't really quite understand, how does she know the cameras can't see her? Like, aren't they invisible?
I think that she... Didn't she, like, go under a bush?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, how could the camera possibly, like...
Yeah.
If she's in that enclosed of a space.
But, like, there's, like, her back is resting against a tree. Like, there could be one right on the tree. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Because this is in the future. So, all this technology is so small.
I kind of got the vibe that, like... The cameras were far away, but they just had the technology to zoom in. I don't know why.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just find it amazing at how they place these cameras so strategically throughout the arena. It's a big arena. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe
it
they have, like, cameras in the sky
I mean, probably they do have, because it's, probably they have birds that, like, you know those kind of birds that have...
I don't think they
robotic birds that have the cameras.
They probably wouldn't put a camera directly in the arena, because it could easily get destroyed.
I mean, like, a small camera,
but
they have
to.
Just
rebuild it, you know what I mean?
But
it's the capital, so...
Yeah.
So, she spots Kato reacting to the loss of the supplies, and he has a huge tantrum.
Kato is...
Which is going to be interesting to see on camera.
He's so temperamental.
So Katniss is really nervous and is chewing a million miles an hour on her nails. I guess that's what she does.
Good exaggeration.
That's like one cute little quirk that she has, but other than that, she's just boring. Sorry.
So, Kato kills the boy from the street.
We're
going to
get some pretty bad emails about
you. Yeah, I'm sorry, you guys.
No, it's totally good.
No, I love it.
I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and we really like
yours. I
don't
hate
Katniss.
No,
it's good, because then it provides discussion, because Matt and I agree on a lot of things, so it's really boring. It's like, yes, I agree, moving on.
I actually think she's really interesting, because, like, no other, like, book character is normal when you think about it. Every single main character is, like, very unique in their own way,
mm-hmm.
but, like, Katniss is just, like, a normal girl. But
typically. Yeah,
and, like,
typical.
You don't expect that.
You would never expect that.
Like,
yeah.
You don't
like,
expect...
Even Harry Potter, like, he's got his own, like...
Quirky nerdiness. Yeah.
Like, no, his personality is, like, so concentrated in, like, one direction, I feel.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
So, Kato kills the boy from District 3 out of anger because he set up the minefields and they failed to keep intruders out. So, after a while, Katniss has realized that they think the person who set it off is dead. They didn't think that someone could throw something or arrow or whatever. So, when Katniss, as we know, is very much alive. So, who do you think they thought set it off?
Foxface. Probably.
Maybe they thought it was her and that she had
died.
No, they probably think Katniss isn't that stupid.
They probably think she was, stupid.
Yeah.
Because they probably would have thought Katniss is starving. She probably has no food. So she would have gone right to it. But also, it could have been, they know that she's not that stupid. Kato knows she's not stupid.
But... The thing is, they think whoever set it off is dead, but there was... Well, of course, like, the cannon could have gone off during the explosion.
No, it said in the chapter that,
right.
Like,
yeah.
The cannon would have gone off while the explosion.
Yeah, so they weren't sure. But
so
they would find out that
there are assumptions. Well, you have to think who's left that is not in the careers. You have Katniss, Peeta.
I think I get an incident.
Katniss, Peeta, Foxface, Thresh, and Rue.
Yeah, no, it's different chapters.
And both tributes from two.
And both no, those they're the careers.
Oh.
They're in the career group.
Wait, then who's the boy from District 1? Is that Kato?
They're no. Marvel's no. dead.
Marvel and Peter from District 1.
Oh no, Marvel's not dead yet.
Never
mind.
At the beginning of chapter 16, it says the people who are still alive are the boy from District 1,
right, Marvel
from 2, the boy from 3, Thresh, Rue, yeah. Peter, Katniss.
So there's 8 left.
Yes.
All right. No, Marvel dies.
Marvel dies at the end of my chapter.
Yeah, Marvel dies later. Okay. Glimmer already died from the Tracker Jackers.
Right. That's how Katniss got the bow.
Glimmer.
So where did I leave off? So, yeah, so the boy from District 3, out of Kato's anger, and the boy from District 10 are dead in result of the mines blowing up. So, I thought that did Kato bring people with him to see the smoke and all that?
Yeah, or,
he brought everyone with him. Right. I remember that he killed the kid who set up the mine.
So Katniss can hear in her right ear.
Can hear a ringing in her right ear.
Oh, sorry. Haha. Okay, so Katniss can hear a ringing in her right ear, and she stays put, washing blood from her ear.
She doesn't stay put.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah, for that night.
Oh, for the night.
Wait, go back up.
But she doesn't wash blood.
Okay. And, yeah, I don't know what
she goes. She goes, she can somewhat hear in her right ear.
Oh, she had, a hood, and she put it up so that she didn't leave any, blood.
Oh,
but she didn't do anything apart from that.
Okay. So, as night falls, Katniss
what?
Realizes she left
Matt's
the
giving me this big...
Yeah,
no,
he does that. Aww.
Okay, guys, this is a pick on Matt episode. All cool. Right.
Well, we're almost 50 minutes in, and we gotta, keep going. Okay.
All right, let's go.
As night falls, Katniss has realized that she left the sleeping bag.
Calm down. You don't have to go so fast.
Sorry, I'm excited. And she manages without it for the night of sleep, and so she kind of realizes how cold it gets and what Rue had to deal with all these nights without a sleeping bag. So she hears again in her right ear, and her left ear, the blood clotted, but she still can't hear in her left ear. So Foxface is looking through the pile of rubbish and finds a few useful things.
Go, Jackie.
Yes. And so she begins the journey back to the stream.
That's Katniss.
Once at the stream, there are boot footprints. PETA fighting with Kato? Maybe. Do you guys think so? That's probably...
Well, it could be anyone.
It probably has, but it has to be time. It has to be time that she finds PETA.
No, didn't it say earlier that, PETA, no, I don't know if this was before or after she said the footprints, but PETA had, fought at some point.
Yes, when after the Tracker Jackers, she got the bow from Glimmer, PETA comes back.
So how could afterwards she have seen the footprints and immediately think of PETA? Because Kato had cut him, almost fatally. So.
Yeah, in his leg.
So, obviously it wasn't PETA, because he's, out somewhere dying.
Right. So, Katniss has a little snack on the way, and she shoots two fish, eating one raw, which is, I guess sushi.
It's not that weird.
Do what you can to survive, Kira. Yeah.
What was it? We read Old Man the Sea.
Oh, my God. That was a really sad
book. That was a good book.
I thought it was pretty good.
What was that, 100 pages long?
Yeah, it was really short.
Not short when you're up at 12 reading it for English the next day. Anyway.
See.
So, she hates the unbalanced feeling in her left ear, and she feels uncoordinated and everything. And so there's no sign of Rue at their meeting spot. But no red flag goes up to Katniss, where is Rue? So, with her hunting skills, why do you think she doesn't realize something's wrong at this point?
If something bad had happened to Rue, it's not like they're just gonna, take her hostage and torture her. They'd kill her immediately and she'd hear the cannon.
Yeah, but, why wouldn't she think
she's
right away,
she's
where
waiting,
is Rue? I gotta find
she's
Rue.
She's waiting to hear, because remember,
so many
Rue taught Katniss the Mockingjay song.
Right.
So, if something was wrong, Rue would signal with the Mockingjay song.
No, the Mockingjay song was if everything's okay.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. It just seems weird that, she
I
wouldn't go
like,
find Rue at this point.
Well, by the time she reaches their meeting place, I don't know. She mentions that she could have gotten lost, or she could have,
Yeah. But, again, she could have died, and she didn't hear the cannon, because she was deaf for a while, and, that whole
night. Oh,
that's
true. I didn't think of that.
So, why wouldn't she, try and find her? As you said, she's emotionally attached to her, so wouldn't she, want to see if she's okay? And, if she, say she's, half dying, and she could save her. At this point, she should be able to find her and give her assistance.
Maybe she's too caught up in, the success of...
Maybe
so far
she's too arrogant and all
well,
happy
I don't
about
think she's
happened.
Arrogant, but She might just be, like, glimmering in the after effects of success. Honeymoon phase of
success, yeah. So, after this, she cleans herself up and tries to prevent infection.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentions that a holiday, this is kind of like a side note, a holiday in District 12 is when, quote, no matter what you put in your stomach, you never feel full. And this is kind of like going back to comparing District 12 to District 11. There's a lot of days where Cass, you know, didn't eat, you know, and Prim and her mother. And but it's really nothing compared to what Rue had to deal with in her district. So Cass feels, quote, the most relaxed she's been in the arena. And we talked about this before. But how could she feel so relaxed with Rue missing? That doesn't make any sense. She's her ally. She's got to, like, know where she is.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, relax. You know, everything's good. Don't know where her hunting partner is, but everything's good anyway.
Maybe it's just that she's...
Because, you know, it could be the fact maybe she's hoping that Rue doesn't come back so she doesn't have to kill Rue.
That's a good point.
Because remember she was so concerned, like, she was so worried that she doesn't want it to be her and Rue?
Mm-hmm.
So she's hoping that maybe Kato will find Rue and kill her.
Kill her.
So it can be done with.
So do you think she's not going out of her way?
It can also be that she doesn't want to worry so much about Rue, so she will grow more emotionally attached to her.
That's a good point. So now she finally decides, which is a great idea, to venture off to find Rue. So later, hearing Rue's song from the Mockingjay, Katniss assumes Rue is safe, so she kind of keeps trotting along, whatever.
Trotting?
Yep, trotting along, strutting along with the swag. So she hears the scream only Rue could yell. She screams Katniss's name, quote, she just has time to say my name before the spear enters her body.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Another cliffhanger.
I feel like we have to play the song now.
We're going... Do you want to play it right now?
I don't know. Do we want to switch it up? And do your segment, and then Dark Duels?
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Go out of schedule. This is intense.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is like a first for me. Like, oh, my God. Okay.
Do you want to do it?
Do you want to?
Don't ask me. It's your idea.
Live on the wild side, Kira.
All right. Let's do this.
Okay, just... No, don't... No, what? No, we need to... I need to describe it first.
I'm sorry, Matthew. You go ahead and you describe your segment.
Right, it's because our switch up and Kira really has a need to play this song. This is Matt Smutty's music. Well, good job on the segment chapter, by the way. Every podcast episode, I'll play a song by a Hunger Games fan or a well-known artist that connects to the novel. This week, I've selected a song which is titled Rue's Lullaby by Gwen. And so I just want to thank Haley for this. She gave the link to us, and I absolutely love the song. This is Gwen's version of the lullaby that Katniss sings Rue. Telling what happens in the next chapters. So, remember, you guys can submit your own original songs or favorite songs through the email at nightlockpodcast@gmail.com. We may have your song featured on the show.
Deep in the meadow, under the thank you.
No. The most amazing voice in the world. So, usually what we do is that we say insight and, like, what we thought about the song, how it connects. Obviously,
was that the actual lyrics of the song?
Yeah.
Oh, because I was thinking, except, that sounds
like,
familiar.
Gwen, who sings the song, took a different spin. Like, she put the way she wanted, she thought the song would be, and sang it to it.
I think she, like, combined the feeling of Rue dying with the lullaby.
Yeah.
That was definitely, it sounded sad.
Because it is very sad and, like.
It's
so beautiful, though.
Yeah. Like, the feelings of love intermingled with the feelings of sadness.
I know, she's so good.
I felt.
And she's obviously, you can tell she's young, but, like, she's an amazing voice.
If you guys, have seen this.
Childishness of the voice.
Thanks, I was talking, cool.
Whoa,
we've been interrupting each other all episode. Like,
if you guys know who Mainstay Productions is. Mainstay Pro, they're on YouTube. They actually did this scene. Like, they had, two actions, one playing Katniss, one playing Rue. Well, I'm mentioning it right now. All right. So, and they did this.
I'm the one that showed him that. They did, give credit where credit is due.
They did this scene with Katniss and Rue, and like the scene where Rue dies.
You have
and
to see it.
Katniss
singing,
it's amazing.
It's like really professionally done.
And
like, let me say
something. Okay, cool.
The guy who does Mainstay Pro, like is the director. He was the first fan of the week for Lionsgate. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And they've done the cave scene with Katniss and Peeta. They've done the second quarter Quell with Haymitch when he was a tribute. They did one, should I mention this one?
Fennec
and Annie, if you guys know who those people are.
Amazing.
There's a web series that came out today.
Yes.
So, all right. So that was my segment that we posted under my tab under the version
so
on the new website.
Send
in your ideas, guys. Keep them coming. So, Kira, move on.
Well, this is our last segment, Dark Duels, and that's where each of us choose a character from the series to put in the arena. We each explain why the character we picked would survive against others. Then you listeners decide who won by voting on our website, nightlockpodcast.com, through a poll under the tab surveys/polls. This week, we are adding another element, and that's timed responses.
Really, Kira?
I was going with the 60 seconds being in the circle. You get that much time to realize who's going to win and figure. Okay, why don't we each say who we have? So make sure we don't have any doubles. Because if we have a double, I have a backup. So.
I've got Gale.
Okay. All right, who do you have?
Wait, who do you have? Go.
I always say mine first. You go.
No, you go.
I'm going to hit you. Go.
Go, say it.
Fine. I have Foxface.
Ooh. Oh, I was going to say
She was
Foxface.
My second choice.
Foxface is my first choice. All right, now my backup would probably be.
I could do my backup if you already planned it out in your head.
Well, who's your backup?
No, you don't get to know. You get to decide, and then I can switch my mind.
Switch my mind. All right. I'm gonna go really original here, and I'll pick Kato. I'll go original.
That was my backup.
So. Okay, that's what I figured.
All right.
Because last time was Clove, and gotta have when you have Clove, you gotta have Kato.
Gotta have them together.
Yeah, you can't keep them apart. Go.
Well, Gail, we already know that. Katniss can be very successful in the arena, and I feel like he has all the advantages of Katniss and more, because he knows how to be hungry, just like Katniss. He's grown up in the scene. He knows how to be quiet in the woods. I'm like, Peeta. and he knows how to hunt, and while Katniss's thing is like her bow and arrows, not only does he know how to use the bow and arrows, I think it mentioned, not as well as Katniss, obviously, but his, like, it mentioned that, like, bow and arrows, Katniss's, like, natural thing, like, she has a talent for it. He has, like, a natural talent for snares, which could prove useful for hunting and also.
He can make a human snare.
Killing. I mean, yeah, I think he would have good leadership skills, too, given that he, you know, has to kind of keep his, like, siblings in line. He has a lot of them. He has to provide for them, obviously. And I also think he has a big incentive to stay alive because he has a big sense of honor. Like, obviously, you saw with the Tesserae how he wouldn't let his siblings take it out. And, like, when they did end up having to take it out, he was, like, really ashamed. And I feel like Katniss has her, like, love for Prim to keep her alive. But not only does he have his... Are you serious? I had like 50 more things to say.
You got a lot of good stuff in there, though.
I was not done.
All right. Well, we can have a rebuttal round. How about that?
All right, rebuttal round.
All right.
All right, so am I going you next, or what am I going?
You can go. Yeah, go for it, Matthew.
All right.
So you're just doing this. No notes. You just go for it.
Just wing it. I did it with Clove. I can do it with Kato.
You were pretty good with Clove.
You did it with Clove. I mean, come on. Really, the word choice there.
Okay. Oh, man. So with Kato, you have obviously his leadership skills because he's taking over the careers. He is he's a leader. When he comes up with this idea, everyone follows him, which gives him that natural sense of power. So he's going to be that kind of power-hungry person who wants to get everything done. He knows what he wants. and he knows how to get it. He's also his skills weaponry. He's good with the sword. If you guys remember, if you had in the trailer, he with him on the practice dummy, he was very skillful with the sword, which is it's nothing you really expect in an arena or any type of weapon. Obviously, Katniss with a bow and arrow is unexpected, but for Kato to have a sword, it's different than what you would normally expect. Exactly. I think Kato, one problem I have with Kato is that he has, like, this temperamental problems, and he's he gets angry really easily, but that also can be his driving force to take someone out and to relinquish his anger. Oh, my God, is that already?
5 seconds.
Go.
I don't
know.
Go for Kato.
Oh, my God. That was fast.
Wait, am I allowed to rebut now?
No.
No, after I go. Okay.
Go.
So if it wasn't for Peeta picking the berries, she would have outsmarted the rest of them by keeping a far distance. She would have been able to trick the mutations at the end with her slyness and been able to escape while the other finalists would have been killed off. She never gets hurt by anyone and stays hidden, so other than dying, she never got hurt. I don't know if that's going against me or not. She outwitted the careers by stealing their food and knew how to get it without being blown up, so she figured out that, as we said before. When getting her bag at the feast, she also outsmarted the others, got in and out without a scratch, while others, like Katniss and Clove, got severely injured. Mm-hmm. She also got a very high score, and she's very independent. I have 17 seconds.
Go. Improv.
She's really pretty. She's Jackie Emerson. I should win because of that.
What? No.
Well, no. I mean, she didn't get hurt at all. What other tribute has that? None. Thresh. I can answer that.
Well,
he got mutilated by Kato. Ooh, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one.
Alright. Well, should we have a...
Well, I feel like bottle? With Foxface, like, she's obviously very smart. That's, like, the one thing she's got going for her.
And Sly.
It's kind of almost interesting.
I mean, but we don't see Foxface's, like, skills. Like,
it's really easy for people to understand that she's smart and then use that against her, like, to trick her. Like, you see the thing that happened with the bears. Anyone could have planned that and, like, done that on purpose, like, without that much thought. Like, she would easily
get
taken down by that.
But I feel like she didn't study Peeta or Katniss as long as she studied the careers, so...
Even if she did study them, that was just something that Peeta did because he was, you know, not thinking.
Stupid, yeah.
Well, environmentally stupid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like... She could easily be outsmarted, I think. Because she relies too much on her smarts. Like, that's
but
her
Gale
only thing.
Wouldn't win because if he was with Katniss, he would just kill her himself to have Katniss
win
because he loves her.
But he wouldn't be with Katniss. This is like a.
This is. Remember,
if
it was.
Kira!
Right, oh my
only
god.
The three of us. Sorry, I just got my own rule.
In fact, Katniss would be an incentive for him to come back home. Because not only does he have his family to worry about.
Who's your person? Right,
but
Kira.
He also Kira. Has Katniss to worry about. Like, he doesn't want to leave her alone.
And Kato would not win.
Kato. Gale is everything that Kato is, but, like, more. Like, I mean, what were your...
I feel like Kato's stronger than Gale, though. If they were in a knife fight, Kato would win, probably.
I think Kato is more determined. Because, remember, Gale talks about how much he hates the Capitol. He's going to try as much as he can to try to ruin the Capitol in the arena. Where Kato is more focused on getting out of the arena.
Yeah,
I feel
he's
like...
more focused on survival, where Gale is more focused
right, and
on rebellion.
So...
I feel like Gale would use that rage, could easily funnel it.
Channel
into,
his energy.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, it's kind of like showing...
Just like Kato, except more so.
Gale's very predictable, too.
Is he?
Yeah, because you can see all his emotions through his face. Like, the way he expresses his emotions, he
really
vents, he goes on complete tangents.
No, well, that's what he's alone in the woods with Katniss, but he has experience in controlling his emotions.
Yeah. He filters
and
himself
lying
in public.
Because he's always around the peacekeepers and things like that, so he knows how to protect his emotions.
Plus well, that's kind of the same thing with Peeta.
Plus, he's really handsome, and he's got this... sassiness going on, so he could easily get sponsors. I feel like Haymitch could easily mold his, like, rebellious nature into, like, this kind of, like, arrogant, indifferent, like, sassy guy. That
well,
would
I think
tributes.
I lost.
We got creamed. Alright, well, we'll put the poll
so go
up.
Vote for Gale on Nightlock Podcast.
Kato. No, vote for Kato, please.
I mean,
vote for Jackie. /Foxface.
You can't just call her Jackie.
I'm
yes,
sorry,
we can. We call him Jen. We got Josh.
Jackie,
we got
Liam. Alex.
Dio.
I actually don't even know what the actress for Foxface looks like.
She's really pretty and amazing.
I wouldn't choose someone
model.
Who was ugly, would they?
Probably not. Okay. It is
Holly. All right, plugs.
All right, so I'm going to plug a few things here.
Ooh.
Episodes are released on the second and fourth Sunday of the month. So our next episode will be released on Christmas. That is our holiday present to you guys.
Are you going
to
be actually doing this, like, on Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be released.
Day.
It's going to be released on Christmas. Yeah, we did.
So, it will have a holiday theme, because it's coming out on Christmas. And we will announce the winners of the segment contest, as well as having those segments featured on the show with a holiday twist. So don't forget to send in your favorite moments from the podcast with a timestamp to our email address, nightlockpodcast@gmail.com, so at the end we can have a montage of your favorite moments from the show. So on our wish list this year is to have an iTunes review from each and every one of you. So, 7,000 iTunes reviews. We're counting on it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so, let us know what you think of Diana and other things of the podcast.
Please don't hate me because of my Katniss teacher.
gmail.com. Yeah, we can forward them to her. But yeah, send her some love, so, yeah.
Or hate.
Or hate, you know, whatever you're feeling.
I'm probably gonna get some hate mail because of my Katniss rant.
Probably, but that's good. She's a cool discussion, and so like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe us on iTunes. You can find all those links on our website, nightlockpodcast.com. So we're going to do a new little twist here for our exit.
Ooh, a twist.
And so we're going to have some recommendations. So each host is going to recommend a Hunger Games gift that you guys can put that on your wish list. So we're going to do this for the month of December. So, all right. So, I'm Kira, and I recommend pre-ordering the Hunger Games Tribute Guide at $7.
I'm Matt. I recommend the Hunger Games Official Illustrated Movie Companion.
I'm Diana, and I recommend character posters. Because you can nice. Never have enough posters on your wall.
Put them in your
when
room.
You're a teenager.
Yeah.
So.
Or if you're older, because some of our...
Or if you're older.
We have parents listening to us, actually, so.
Buy for your kid. Buy for your grandkids.
Yes, yes. Please do. So, thanks for listening, guys, and tune in to us on Christmas Day.
Big thank you to Diana for coming on our podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me, guys.
One more thing. It was Matt's birthday.
Oh.
And everyone forgot except
everyone
for
Kira. Everyone forgot except for me. Yeah, so I gave him, along with, like, other things, a Hunger Games CD that I made.
With all the parody. A lot of parody. A lot of parodies. You hear my voice right now? So, thank you for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you next time. I'm just curious because I was coloring yesterday and I wanted to know.
God. I want to see Jackie do this dance. I need to see this.
This is like Jackie's shining moment right here. Yeah. And
she's going to belt out singing Peter Pan while doing this little dance. It's going to be great.
Okay.
Matt, don't be mean.
downstairs. Like, see, this is what happens. I say something, he just stares at me and moves
Matt, on. With all the awkward, like, just strange things that come out of your mouth. And Kira never gives you these. Well, she does sometimes.
I mean, sometimes, but like.
But it's never, like, the contemptuous, just...
Yeah, you're just like, oh my god, really? Why is she saying this? Like,
I know you're trying to be witty, but...
I'm funny.
I mean, I think she's funny. She's got some wit in there.
She does, she does.
Somewhere deep inside. Most of the time. District guy is dead.
No, I thought you
meant
right.
District guy.
District 10 district guy. Yeah, totally.
How about, like, 120 seconds for the 12, you know, 12 different districts times 10?
Times 10, yeah, that's a little stretch. Alright, you'll time Diana.
So what is the time we're set in here?
I don't know. What should we do?
Minute and a half? Minute and a half?
Minute.
What? No.
Go.
No.
Go.
70 seconds.
Come on, you only have so much time.
What? No, what? No, no. Kira, you are an evil person. People don't understand me.
True be that. Can you not find it?
Did you just say true be that?
Yeah, I did. I'm going slang, yo.
Oh, God.
Kira, shut up.
I don't know.
Is it under clock?
How long is this episode?
Is it under clock?
This is gonna be a
long
episode.
Oh, goodness. Oh, do a countdown, Matthew, okay, so that it can go.
How do I do that?
Oh, goodness gracious. Whatever.
No, I'm giving her 1 hour. It says 1 hour.
I mean, that works too.
All right, 1 minute. Okay.
Okay. Tell me when. Tell me when.
I can't do improv.
Buddy. Oh, Target selling timers.
Kira, you can't know that unless you try. Just try procrastinating.
I'm scared.
Try procrastinating once.
Oh, I can't.
On one thing and see what happens. You might do better.
Oh, there's no way.
You might work better under pressure and stress. You don't know.
I almost wanted to say I've done it, but I haven't. So I'll try with something. I'll try with something small.
You've never procrastinated on anything.
I can't think of something off the top of my head.
That is absurd. Aren't you a teenager? Like,
not really.
Not really. Okay,
Place and gym for everything. This podcast. Everything.
Planning. It's like our executive meeting.
Yes. And totally. During gym. Walking a track.
You guys want to just stop and say hi? Yeah, we'll be more happy. Totally. We're walking the track. Just pop in.
It is open to the public, actually.
Yeah, it's very quite feasible. Creepy.
It's that Alice Cullen poster that I said it would be.
Yeah, can we not talk about this on the podcast? Can't
guys. Wait, a lot of our fans are Twilight fans, so it's okay.
And they would be happy to know that that Matt here went through a huge Alice Cullen phase.
That was in 8th grade, okay?
Back when he read the books. Oh, that was cute.
All right, we're ending the show now.
We still have to see the movie.
We're done. All right.
Breaking Dawn was pretty good.
Oh.
I have to say. Okay, sorry. Hunger Games.